We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D, holla.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, October 27, 2011. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. With me, as always, is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, J-Cat. You know, another week, another show.
Sure is, man. Man, a lot going on for me this week. A lot of different things. Man, it's, yeah, my brain's all over the place this week, so, everybody bear with me. I'm going to try to stay on track the best I can. Just nutty shit. So anyway, we got so much to talk about. Where should we go first? And WWE had a pay-per-view over the weekend, and they had Raw and all that stuff.
You want to go into that? You want to go into that first? You want to go into Vengeance first?
I guess we'll go into football first, because, you know, I burn all my wrestling first and then try to go back and then, you know, might as well do that. Just, you know. Does that work?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just figure, you know, a couple things that were definitely, you know, noteworthy of last week's football. Still came up with a bad week again. Eric came up pretty strong.
You gotta play the music. I don't know why you're not playing the music. No,
yeah.
Football talk without that music.
All right. All right. Yeah. So anyway, cut the music. Well, a couple things, like I was saying, noteworthy of last week is, Eric had a pretty strong week with 9 wins. I didn't. I had 6 wins. So Eric is catching up. For those who are keeping score, I'm now still winning. I have 54 wins on the season, and Eric has 50. So he's right back on my heels. So, other big things that were going on, a lot of just crazy, crazy lopsided stuff going on in the NFL. as, you know, my record reflected for sure. But, I mean, you had Oakland getting completely shut out by Kansas City, who, I mean, through a lot of the season came off as complete jokes and were just getting run over left and right by teams. And, I mean, they're now dead even at 3-3 and shut out Oakland. I think that's the first time in a long time they've been shut out. And,
you know what though? On that game though, if I can chime in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Oakland had a shitload of injuries going into the game. You know, they didn't have, you know, Jason Campbell. They had Kyle Bowler at quarterback. And I'm gonna tell you right now, and this is no offense to you or anything, but honestly,
right,
you could have been a better quarterback than Kyle Bowler.
Well,
he's horrible. Like, and you're not even a football player. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're just a fan of, you know, football. You know?
Right.
And you would be a better quarterback than Kyle Bowler. I could have been a better quarterback with one arm than Kyle Bowler. He is horrible. Like, why is this guy even in the league still? Like, who the fuck takes opportunities on this guy? He threw three picks. They threw Carson Palmer in there, and Palmer had a fucking three picks. But, you know, I don't think they should even put Carson Palmer in. They should have used Terrell Pryor.
He needed to get used to the offense. It's just, you know,
He didn't play last Sunday. He fucking was at home last Sunday, and they threw him in there. Like, I don't know.
Right. Well, Green Bay, I mean, they edged it out and stuff, but I don't know where the fuck the Minnesota Vikings came from because, you know, or for that matter, what's going on with Green Bay because, man, they edged out the game 33-27, but, I mean, they had 13 points in the first half against the Minnesota Vikings. The one-win Minnesota Vikings, that was pretty surprising to me. And then, you know, to get shut out in the fourth quarter, lucky to hold on to that win. I mean, I don't know.
It speaks volumes, man, for the type of NFL season we're having when that kind of thing is happening. I mean, like somebody said, you know, long time ago, any given Sunday. So I guess, you know,
well,
Green Bay came back, you know, held on.
They maintained their win. They held on.
Against a better team like a New Orleans Saints or, you know, like a 49er team? You know what I mean? Could they do that against that? I don't know.
No, but honestly, when they've needed to, they stepped up. This was probably the worst, I would say, Green Bay actually looked. And if your worst week still results in a win, there's not a whole lot you could say about it. You know, you can question team this and that, but if you're still 7-0, you know, tough week to fucking pick point spreads against, but, you know, when it comes down to it, they're still 7-0. They can come back, you know. I think they got a bye week now. And then, you know, next week they can come back and just beat the shit out of a team and no one will remember that they even were that close with Minnesota. So,
right.
Well, team that's on the other side of that seven number is the 0-7 Indianapolis Colts. Sorry, Drake, but oh man, 62-7, they got beat. Oh my God, double-digit points in every quarter of the game for New Orleans. They scored 21, 13, 14, and 14 in each quarter. I mean, Jesus Christ. That is just sad. That is a terrible turn of events for any team to have 62 points put on their ass in a game. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Honestly, though, I'm gonna say something, and it's not gonna get good vibes off some people, but I told you so.
You told me you were gonna put up 62 points. I don't know.
No, this Indianapolis Colts. This Indianapolis Colts team, Jay, is horrible because they have no guidance. Peyton Manning was their guidance. He was the one calling plays at the huddle. You know, he was the one making the plays. You know, 7 points is ridiculous. I don't even know.
Wow.
Let me give. They're playing Tennessee this week. Let me give. The listeners at home, something to listen to and go, what? All right, so they are 32 in the power rankings out of 32 teams. Their offense, they're putting up head-to-head 26 points a game, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
They're throwing for 189 yards a game. And they're almost, with rushing, they're almost over that, like close to over that, with 162. Excuse me, 80 yards. They're not even close. I read Tennessee's.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I mean, yes, Peyton, of course, would hold that team together. He would do this, that. But as far as the defense allowing 62 points to get put up, that ain't got shit to do with Peyton Manning. I mean, that's a lot of fucking points to get put on you. And I don't care. Like, yeah, Peyton Manning was in there, they would have scored more points. But if they were letting up 62, then I don't give a fuck what Peyton was doing. So they got a lot bigger problems as far as I'm concerned than their quarterback situation, because that's pretty bad.
They've also had injuries. They've also had a lot of injuries with Dwight Freeney did not practice all week. He's questionable this week. And a bunch of injuries on defense.
Yeah, that was an enormously high-scoring event. And one thing I was pretty happy to see was this other game that Cleveland won their third game of the season, and they did it in the fashion of 6-3. They beat the Seattle Seahawks 6-3 in a just point-scoring event. So, that was something else. I mean, Seattle's in my division, so I couldn't be happier to see them only putting 3 points up in the game. And we're playing Cleveland this week, so I couldn't be happier to see them only put 6 points up in a game. So,
I bet.
Detroit, there's another one. They took their second loss. I can't help but feel that we might have took a little bit of their pride when we took that first. They took that first loss. And Atlanta went in there, and they did the job, man. It, 23-16 doesn't really speak the way that game went, because the game was pretty lopsided in the Falcons' favor. You know, Stafford, I mean, he went out there 15 for 32. He really didn't have his best performance. And overall, I mean, the Falcons just didn't really let him in the game that much. You know, like I said, the score is pretty close for what the game was, because they just didn't seem to have all the chances in the world to go out there and win it. So, But anyway, that was, a couple things that stood out to me about this past week. What's going on, Juan? What's going on, Adrian? And this week, there's more football. I actually scheduled more games this week.
I love it.
Them. What?
I said I love it.
Yeah, it was pretty. They're keeping this football thing going, aren't they?
Real quick, though. Hey, NBA, they're fucking up big time. The NBA is fucking up big time.
Are they still locked out?
Yep.
Ah, Jesus. Seems like that's the thing to do.
Lockout. We don't want to play.
Yeah. I barely pay attention to the NBA, especially when my team's doing well, until the NFL's over. And
right.
My team's doing well, so I don't know what's going on there. I know they're canceling games left and right, so it's not even like I'm going to miss part of the season now.
The first 2 weeks are canceled.
Yeah, it's cool. So they should just delay the NBA until after the NFL season starts, because that's when I start watching it anyway. So that would work out. Then I could say I watched the whole season. I was into it from start to finish. So, well, all right. Well, this week, more football. Game one, we got the Arizona Cardinals at the Baltimore Ravens, with the Ravens favored by 12.5 points. Who do you got?
Going with Arizona.
Going with Arizona as well. Ravens, actually, that was another thing I meant to point out. The Ravens just got beat by Jacksonville on Monday night in a low-scoring event. Just kind of, you know, sad for a team that I thought was definitely one of the more dominant teams. You know, they lost 12-7. Another great scoring event by these two guys. So, what can you do? Arizona. This will probably be, you know, Baltimore's big crush 'em game. So, what can you do? Either way. Next up, we have the Minnesota Vikings taking on the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers favored by 3.5, and I'm going with Carolina.
I'm going with Carolina as well.
Yeah. Next up, we have the Jacksonville Jags and the Houston Texans. The Texans favored by 10.5 points. Who you got?
I'm going with Texans.
Yeah, I'm going with Houston as well. Wow, we're seeming to lean the same way this week. Next up, we got the Miami Dolphins versus the New York Giants. And the Giants are favored by 9.5 points.
Who are you going with?
Oh, I'm going with the Giants.
Going with the Giants as well.
Oh, wow, look at this. Next up, we have the New Orleans Saints taking on the St. Louis Rams with the Saints favored by 11.5 points.
I'm going New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm going New Orleans as well. Wow. I'll just mark you down for whatever I got. Next up, we have the Indianapolis Colts taking on the Tennessee Titans. The Titans are favored by 9.5 points.
Who do you got?
Oh, I got Tennessee.
Oh, no, I got Indy.
You got Indy, wow.
Yeah.
Team got, okay, that's cool. Got 62 put up on them, okay. I'll take 9.5. next up, you got the Washington Redskins at the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills are favored by 5.5 points.
I'm going Washington.
All right, finally, I'm going with Buffalo. Next up, we got the Detroit Lions and their crushed spirits by a mighty, mighty Niner team. And they'll be facing off with the Denver Broncos and Tim Tebow and all of that nonsense. And Detroit's favored by 3.5. I'm going to go with Detroit.
I'm going to go with Denver.
All right. Tebow. next up, we have a pretty big game of the New England Patriots versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, with the Patriots away, favored by 2.5 points.
New England, baby.
Yeah, I'm going New England as well. Okay, next game. Oh, man. You know what this is. This would be the Cleveland Browns taking on a fantastic 49er team. And, I don't know who I would possibly pick in this game.
San Francisco.
Oh, my bad. San Francisco is also favored by 9.5 points, and I'm still taking them.
Go with San Francisco.
Okay. Next up, we have the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Cincy's favored by 2.5.
Go with Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm going with Cincinnati, too. Next up, we have the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. And
Eagles favored by 3.5.
And the Eagles are favored by 3.5. And whose pick is it?
Yours.
Okay, well, we got two bits of bad news at the same time. I'm going with Dallas, and Juan lost his job. So,
what?
Right. What do you got? Yeah, bad news.
I'm going with Philly.
Okay. Well, you know, at least try to cheer the guy up, for Christ's sakes. There you go. I don't know. Juan just posted that in the chat.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I hate the two of those teams. If that stadium burned to the fucking ground, and none of the players could be saved, I would be one happy dude. But what can you do? The last game we have is, those are my two hated NFL teams, most hated NFL teams. Next up, we have the last game of the week, and that is the San Diego Chargers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chargers are favored by 3.5 points.
Going with San Diego.
Going with San Diego as well. So that's that. All right. Well, where do we go from here?
We'll go into the pay-per-view.
Oh, we'll go into the pay-per-view. Guess we'll do that. Yep.
Vengeance.
All right. Vengeance, huh? Is that what they called it? All right. I watched the most of it. Did you see it?
I watched most of it. And I have a lot of things to talk about, and I know you're going to get into a fucking rant about one of the things, and, you know, they're doing fucking more bullshit with this.
Yeah.
By the way, there was no title changes, and it's weird because the last few pay-per-views, there's been a title change. So, and I'm guessing I've heard numerous reports from reading the Observer and all types of shit, but pretty much saying that, you know, there's a company policy, you know, it has become a company policy to change one of the world titles, feeling that it leads into like an increase in the Raw rating the next day, and that's why they would, you know, have title changes on pay-per-views. I don't think it matters, but, you know, whatever, they want to do whatever they got to do. Fine.
Right. Well, we only have so much to say about so much of it, but the tag team champions, state champions, and Airboom beating Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger. You know, I mean, they have pretty good chemistry, these four in the ring, and you know, it wasn't a bad match. Pretty good. I don't have that much, like, you know, extreme shit to say about, like, this type of stuff. So, and then I ended up, Dolph ended up also defending his United States Championship and beating the hugely overrated Zack Ryder. So that was
I agree. At least there's something today we agree with. And it's,
yeah.
That bullshit, because Ryder's fucking bleh.
I don't know.
He's only over because of this fucking Jersey Shore bullshit.
Well, and this whole internet thing, he goes on and he does his little internet shows like he's the ego Robert Anthony, but he's not, you know, and it's just whatever, dude. You know? Do what you want to do. And
right. I think they stole that idea from him, to be honest, but that's just my opinion.
I would say so. Next up we got Beth Phoenix beating Eve. I just don't think Eve is any good. I really don't. Don't know how much more to say about that.
I didn't even watch the match.
Then you had Sheamus beating Christian. Liking the way Sheamus has been really, really dominant lately. Christian, like I said, I really have no reason to support Christian in any way or shape or form. I think he has no charisma, and, you know, he keeps, he just keeps completely getting pushed, and even if it's not an extreme push, he still gets put, like, in the limelight, so I have to repeat myself, like, every fucking week on how he has no charisma, and I have nothing to say about his matches, and, you know, they're just kind of there. At least you get a guy like Sheamus, you know, he's been pretty rough and everything, so that's cool. You had the Miz and R-Truth versus Triple H and Punk thing, and, you know, and you know, the most shocking fashion of all, you know, you had Kevin Nash come out, and, you know.
Fuck that piece of shit.
Attack Triple H, and then they're saying, you know, he's definitely hurt. He's hurt for real. He's out for 6 weeks or 6 months or six to something. he's definitely out. Oh, he's fucked his neck, his back, a whole shit. And I'm just like, I just, all right, cool. That's fantastic. So, it's just, yeah, it's just ridiculous. I'm just tired of the same old shit that they're doing. And,
you know what I hate is when the announcers do that fucking, like, they're fucking talking like, oh, I think something happened. Like, real fucking quiet. You ever notice that? Like, they did that shit during during that match and shit like that. I hate when they do that.
One of the biggest things that I got out of the pay-per-view, because I was, like, just zoning out in the matches, so I would just start, like, really listening to, like, Booker T's commentary.
And I'm starting,
like, to just really hone my inner Booker T, you know? It's like, you're just watching the match, and you're like, oh, shit, here comes Kevin Nash. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, is that Kevin Nash? Oh, you gotta be kidding me. He's my fave five. He used to be my fave five. This is bullshit, man. You can't go to that guardrail, hit the King of Kings. Not the King of Kings on my watch. Nah, that guy's my fave five. That's bullshit. I ain't doing it no more. Cole King, man, you just call me Nat. We'll be Nat King Cole. This is what we do, all right? You know, he cracks me the fuck up, man. He cracks me up. He brings me far more entertainment than the entire match. It's just, oh, you gotta be kidding me, Cole. Oh, you gotta be kidding me. You know, he hits like highs, lows, like, so sometimes you get the somber Booker T, and then sometimes you get the just hyped up screaming about his fave five Booker T. But either way, I'm liking his commentary, because really I have nothing tied to these matches where I'm like, oh, he's making a mockery of this. Like, Kevin Nash just fucking walked over the fucking guardrail for the millionth time and just destroyed a fucking angle or match or whatever, and just like, you know, I mean, sure, I mean, it's all great for his, you know, hair club for men and his, hey, man. my Devin can be pretty good, but I'm telling you, I get my Booker rolling. It was probably a little better over the weekend, but I'll work on it for the show. It was something, man. Like, Kevin Nash is really putting on the that Just for Men Die. He's doing that up real big. And he's limping on out there. It's impressive, man, how he just, like, gets over that guardrail and then, you know, puts minimal effort into everything. It's really great. So, yeah, man. Next match. Oh, man, this was something else. This was Mark Henry versus the Big Show.
No, you forgot about one match.
Oh, did I?
That was Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes.
Oh, okay. I have something to say about that, too. Good. Randy Orton beat the Intercontinental Champion, Cody Rhodes, but not for the belt, because why would they defend the belt on a pay-per-view? Yeah. I don't understand why they would why would they build up a feud with a guy who has a belt and then just not include the belt? Like, you know? I really hate you. Hey, that's a nice belt. But let's just fight and pretend like you don't have that nice belt. I don't want your belt. I just, you know, don't like you very much. I'm going to walk away, and I'm going to win. But, you know, keep the belt, buddy. You know, it's just, you know, I like that they're trying to, like, bring the Intercontinental title back to, like, you know, meaning something. And I think, I mean, it would be a bold move if they actually made Orton the Intercontinental Champion for a month or two, and they actually worked that like that type of thing, and they feuded back and forth, and then maybe Cody ended up back with it or something like that. It would make a whole lot of sense because they were feuding, and then it would also be like, oh, look, Randy Orton was the Intercontinental Champion just there, instead of it being a B-rate title.
But where would be the blow off of that? Like, where could you, like, where could there be a blow off of a Randy Orton Cody Rhodes feud over a belt? Like,
well, I mean, they were feuding.
I don't want to see that. Like, that's not something I want to see.
Well, they're feuding anyway, so if they're going to be feuding.
Doing this fucking match, like, where the fuck is it going to lead them to? Like, are they going to fucking go to a steel cage match? Okay, that's fucking redundant and it's fucking, you know, those fucking steel cages. Like, I think those the gimmick matches, going completely off guard, you know, completely off topic, the gimmick match does not mean a damn thing anymore. You know, in WWE. Like, on the indies, you can do those gimmick matches, you know, because you're fucking trying to put on the best product, you know. But in WWE, it's kind of like those gimmick matches, like, they do them shits all the time. So you can't really do, like, a blow-off. Like, back in the day, the huge blow-off to a feud would be in a fucking steel cage. Now it's like, you kind of have to, like, I don't know. You get where I'm coming from, though?
Yeah.
Like, there's really nothing, like, where the fuck are they leading this fucking shit to? Like, where would you lead it to?
I don't know, man. That's just, I just think if you're going to feud two guys and one of them has a belt, you really, really have to, you have to do something with them. You have to use the belt as part of the thing. Oh, Juan just mentioned something about, you know, wait, maybe he did call Hulk Hogan and are you talking about this one?
Hulk Hogan, we're coming for you, nigga.
I don't know. He might have been talking about that. So anyway, we'll see. But then the next match, like I was saying, they had this big Big Show versus Mark Henry, and fuck, man. I have no use for Big Show on this planet at all. Like, I really don't. As I said in some of the past weeks, I mean, he's good to have in the building because, you know, if he actually, you know, if the building collapsed, he could be a definite, like, support structure. Like, he could serve as a support beam and save, like, the whole crowd, you know what I mean? Like, he might dent the top of his head a little bit, but, like, everybody, yeah, I know the promo's old. I know this. But, you know, I just have no use for the Big Show. So what did they do? They end the fucking match in a no contest where a superplex breaks the ring. Of course, like, a couple seconds after they land, the whole ring magically falls down. You know, and I'm not trying to get on some kind of crazy, you know, 9/11 theory here, but I have a feeling that superplex didn't take down that ring. Man, it's just, it's fucking crazy. And then at that point, okay, the ring broke. The ring didn't, like, explode or, you know, planks didn't shoot up through the apron and impale these two fucking wrestlers. Like, it still was a straight suplex, a superplex. I could swear it was just a superplex. I'm pretty much going to finish talking about the pay-per-view first, Juan. I'm not just going to stop talking and play Teddy Hart for you, but I'll do you a solid later on. So, it's still just a fucking superplex. Like, I don't get where the death cell comes from a superplex because the ring broke. Again, it wasn't really on impact. If you looked at it and slowed it down, like, they were both firmly on the mat when all of a sudden the fucking, you know, all the ropes fall down and it drops a couple feet or whatever. It's just, it's pretty fucking pathetic. Like, I just don't understand the death cell on that. I just don't. And then, you know, you get the saddest Booker T ever. Oh, man, Cole. I don't know what they're going to do with this ring looking like that. We still got the main event, dog. Oh, man. You know, just real, just downtrodden. Like, he just doesn't know what else he's going to do. Oh, jeez. Just can't do it. Not sure. Just not sure at all. So, I don't know, what did you think about the whole ring collapsing?
Horrible. Horrible. Horrible.
Yep.
And it's been done before too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it has. Brock Lesnar. Right?
Big Show. Yep.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar and Big Show. And you just got to go back to the well and just be like, well, you know, we have nothing we can do with this. Henry took him out for 3 months or 6 months or whatever he did. Big Show comes back, goes, oh, you know, that really hurt. You got to stop doing that to me. I want to fight now. And all the same shit happens, and they hit each other with their finishers. And Big Show hit one of the sloppiest fucking choke slams, which I don't really know how you can botch a choke slam that bad. Like, and honestly, like, you know, Henry jumped and did everything he was supposed to. And I mean, from my, you know, just looking at it, it looked like it couldn't have been anybody else's fault. Big Show just made it look so awkward. It's so fucking awkward, you know.
So, yeah, it is fucking retarded. I don't know what they fucking do sometimes. They fucking piss me off sometimes.
They piss me off quite often, man. And I'm just tired of this Big Show thing. I really wish he would just fucking retire. I don't think he needs a last run or anything like that. This dude is not going to live a long life. I mean, just how many people you know that size that are fucking 75 years old? Just, you know, go home, fucking spend time with your family, and, you know, carry out your bucket list, because I'm tired of seeing you on my fucking TV, quite honest. So then they did the main event with the ropes all hanging there looking stupid. Now, of course, you know, oh, everything is completely workable otherwise. Like, oh, we're not worried about it breaking anymore because, oh, it's, oh, yeah, planned. So, yeah. And then, you know, that was it. They worked that stupid main event.
It was a long fucking match, too.
Yeah, just drug it out. And, I have nothing to say about that shit. It was just, you know, Del Rio went over. Del Rio should go over. It's fine with me. I have no problem with that. I'm tired of seeing Cena with the fucking belt. And, yeah, but they fucked everything with that ring thing. It really didn't do a whole lot of anything. And that was the pay-per-view. So, I don't know. I guess, you know, to appease Juan, I'll play a quick Teddy Hart joint, and then we'll get into Raw after that. Let me see. I got a bunch of them. I'm not sure. I think I might have played either almost all of them or all of them. So I'm going to have to just go back to the well and see what I got. And we'll go with this one. Let's hear Teddy talk about how everybody should be able to do a double moonsault. All right.
And proof is in the pudding. If I make you a steak sandwich and I put it in the microwave, but it somehow tastes better than everyone else's steak sandwich, I don't think people are going to complain about the speed of the sandwich. They're going to tell you how good the food tastes, you know what I mean? If you understand what I'm saying again on that. Wrestling fans are basically out there. And I don't think wrestling fans are one group of people that you can say specifically are wrestling fans. I think there's a whole bunch of people that watch wrestling kind of as, like, occasional fans, and they hear through the grapevine The Rock's coming back or Bret Hart's coming back, or they catch something on TV and it reminds them to watch for, like, a couple minutes. But the real diehard wrestling fans, I think, will watch it, and if it's good, they'll continue to watch it. But I'm looking for a real new audience of younger kids, basically.
Right.
And if younger kids, basically, I'm really hoping that a lot of gymnast people, like people that are snowboarding, that are skiing, that have never seen wrestling or understood wrestling as a no-limit sport, some of the really cool stuff, like, is just not possible to happen because the floor is too hard in the ring. I bought a special padded floor, and the padded floor allows an average man to hit a double backflip off of the ground. So if the guy has basic gymnastics training, he could probably hit, within about a month after training with me and Jack Evans, he'd probably be able to hit a double moonsault, whereas Ricochet is the only guy in the world that could hit a double moonsault consistently in wrestling and not hurt people. So it's like, if you can explain the dynamics, I think athletics is athletics, and there's enough people out there that are aware of the risk of anything. So if you have a guy and you explain the risks of these moves they're doing, but you show the training behind it and the technology into the new equipment that's going to protect these guys from going up an extra 3 feet or 5 feet, then I think people will watch it. And if it's if it makes sense and it's hard hitting and the rings, you know, all the kind of stuff that the ring works. I say it's a big risk changing the ring, but at the same time, it's the last basic thing in wrestling that has to change.
No.
Well, yeah. So there's Teddy for you, Juan. The ring has to change. You know,
right.
It should be a soft surface that any man could do a double moonsault off the ground. That's what
I'm
they should
be
doing.
I'm gonna be real honest with you. That promo, if that was a TV promo, and like I was on TV, I'd be like, "What? What the fuck did I just watch? Like,
yeah.
What the fuck is he talking about? Like,
well,
what exactly is he trying to say? Like,
he wants to make everybody leap in the air, do three flips, and that way you don't have to hire Ricochet. You could just, you know, hire homeless people and have them flip around in the air like astronauts, and the crowd goes crazy, and you feed them peanuts, and you send them back to the fucking street. This is more
and
or less
way,
what he's...
people don't have to fucking book Teddy Hart, and he can just fucking leave. Like,
right, well, Teddy doesn't
want to
book Teddy either. Like, he'll come out, he'll have some shiny pants on, and, you know, I don't know
what he's fucking talking about. That's a brand new one. I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, I didn't think I played that one yet. I have.
Yeah.
I just loaded a shitload of them that I chopped up from that interview that he did. And, you know, I really, I lost track of which ones I played and which ones I didn't. I'm pretty sure I played them all. Might be
you
one
played
more.
You played
more
about the CM Punk. You played, what other one was there?
Oh, I have like four
oh,
or five.
Oh, there's ones
them.
About like some fucking, like about animals, like.
Yeah.
Teaching
where he trains
animals to come out to the ring with him or something. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, and then the Harry Potter broom and the, he's something else. He's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about sometimes, but,
as,
you know,
as,
whatever.
As Vince McMahon once said,
keep it up, my nigga.
Yep. That's Vince. So, that's that.
Wow.
And they had Raw. Wasn't a big fan of Raw, man. It's just, it's killing me. I mean, the angles that they're doing and the things that they were doing, it really kind of brings me back to thinking of all the angles that they were playing and the way that they were playing up that none of the superstars felt safe under Triple H. Oh, it all had to change. We don't feel safe. There's not enough respect, this and that. So the main thing in that they decided to do was to have – Johnny Laryngitis come out, and he's got CM Punk out there, and I have no chronological results of Raw, but you know, I'm going to mention this thing, and then if you want to ask me about anything else in Raw, that's all cool. And he's like, you know, hey Punk, it's like you can have your world title shot, but the only thing I'm going to need you to do is suck my balls in the middle of the ring, and then I'll give you whatever you want. It's like, wait a minute. Didn't we go on an anti-bullying campaign a minute ago? Did we need... you know, and then he yelled, you got to say that you respect me, Punk. And then, you know, Punk's like, oh, I respect you. Yeah, I respect that, you know, you used to have a mullet, and you used to do this and that, and, you worked all the years in the business, never accomplished anything in the ring, and you're still as accomplished in the business as you are today. Oh, I really respect that, you know. Just a whole bunch of shit. Like, he definitely, you know, threw that normal CM Punk shoot promo thing, and it worked real well. But other than that, it's just like, it's like the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club all over again with some bronchitis or some shit on top of it. Like, it's just, I don't know. Then, the other, I guess, big thing, was, you know, I ended a show, they had the whole thing, Cena and, who'd Cena team with somebody. Was it Punk? No, Cena team with somebody. And he brought
Cena,
up his truth, right?
Cena teamed with, who the fuck did he team with? He fucking teamed with your buddy, Zack Ryder.
Okay, fantastic. Well, of course, that didn't work out. So, you know, after the match, he announced that, yeah, the pay-per-view, it's going to be me and The Rock. Me and The Rock, man. You guys are going to get it. Yeah. It's like, okay, great. Fantastic.
It got a huge reaction, though. Like, the reaction was crazy.
Oh, yeah, The Rock's fucking over, but, like, you know, a year ago, well, a while ago, you know, Rock came out, you know, the whole WrestleMania thing. And I'm never leaving you guys again. The Rock says you'll see me every week. And, you know, then like 6 months go by and it's like, guess who I'm bringing next week? The fucking Rock. Like, I don't really give a shit about that. I mean, you know.
Whatever.
He's over. The guy can cut a promo, this and that. You're not going to see fucking five-star matches out of The Rock, especially when he's in there with John Cena. I really don't care. I don't give a shit. And that's just the bottom line. I just, I don't know, man. What else happened on Raw?
We had Orton in a good tag match, which I thought it was really good. Orton and Sheamus versus Cody Rhodes and Christian. That was a really good tag match.
Okay.
It looks like they're going to start teaming Orton and Sheamus up a little bit more, as it looked like they had some good chemistry together as a tag team. It was
Orton
a good match,
and Sheamus?
Though. Yeah, yeah. Two badasses and shit like that. How about this
whole snake man.
How about this shit? The whole Hunter and Nash thing. To start the fucking show.
Yeah.
Like, Fucking Hunter is fucking... He comes out, right, after getting beat up at the pay-per-view. Just comes out. No sell, you know, no selling of an injury. You know, just comes out. Walks out, regular. Then fucking gets attacked in the fucking ambulance by Nash. And he starts selling like he's having a goddamn heart attack.
All right.
Like who the fuck? Like, they're doing this shit again. Like, they're doing Nash and fucking Hunter. Like, honestly, nobody cares.
No.
Nobody cares. Why the hell are they doing
this?
Oh, my
God. Who the hell cares?
Exactly.
Right.
And the fans
exactly.
Don't give a shit. And... And, like, honestly, okay, so he's fucking taken to the hospital. Then right after the Orton fucking Sheamus match, Laurinaitis is on the fucking phone with Stephanie. With Otunga, your fucking boy. I'm going to be honest with you, Otunga looks like a goddamn tool.
Yeah. And then, you know, anything Otunga says, like, the first thing that goes through my head is...
All right,
like,
now we're going to all listen while this dork finishes...
It's
a little useless
yakety yak,
okay?
So, you know, I just sit there. Just like, oh, wow. It's like I'm being punished. Just punishment. What can you do?
And then right after that, they did Dolph Ziggler versus Santino.
I have a theory about this. I think the only reason Santino's back on TV is because, and don't think that this is like a complete joke, but like, because I am more hyped than you can fucking imagine that the fucking Muppets will be on Raw this coming Monday. Believe me, I am very, very happy, and I'm not being sarcastic at all. I'm more excited to see the Muppets than I am any of the WWE superstars, so as sad as that may be. I think that they brought back Santino onto TV because he has worked best with all of the Raw guest hosts, the backstage segments, the small comedy segments, because I feel like Santino plays a very good acting role, and he works in well with people from outside of the business. So I feel like that's why they put him back on TV, because I have no idea why else they would put him, you know, back into the mix. Where, like, where the fuck was he all this time? Did he have a legit injury, or they just took him off TV?
I don't even remember. I think he got hurt. I want to say he got hurt.
I don't know.
Sure. All I know is that the fucking heel, like, he was getting beat up and off the fucking match, and Mason Ryan came back out to make the save.
Yeah. There's another guy I like so much. So much. He's just such a fucking talented, pure, drug-free athlete.
Shit.
He's just, oh, man. I mean, that's a natural body right there. He should have called himself the new Nature Boy.
Yeah,
you know, he should have just really, you know, he's something else, that guy. Yes, he is. So, I don't know, man. What else did they do?
Oh, they did a lot of things. They Alberto Del Rio came out and fucking had like a victory speech.
Right, right.
Did a fucking thing, and Punk came out and fucking said he never got a fucking one-on-one match.
That's when they did the laryngitis thing, right?
Yeah, they did that whole bullshit. Laryngitis came out. They did that.
Right.
And then Alicia Fox wrestled Natalya. Alicia Fox beat Natalya. So the fate's going to be Alicia Fox versus Beth Phoenix at the pay-per-view.
I don't understand that shit. It's like, okay, well, my partner here, yeah, she's like the measuring stick. So if you beat her, you can fight me. You're like, what? You can become number one contender by beating my partner. She doesn't get any title shots with you. You would if you beat her. And there's only so much I understand about that. Like, it's just,
I don't understand any of it. Horrible.
The thing I liked, I didn't get a chance to mention this last week because I saw the show after this show, but the Sin Cara versus Sin Cara match that they did in Mexico, I liked that match a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was a really good match. That was the one where the black Sin Cara lost his mask.
But then he took the blue Sin Cara's mask, too.
Well, no, that was a different day.
Oh.
She stole it before the... And then, yeah. But this, like, he lost his mask, and he, like, ran around with his hands on his face like he got hit with acid or something.
Okay.
And now his name is, like, I don't know, like Negro... Sin Cara Negro, or... Something like that. So that's what he's doing. It's I don't know, but I definitely like the match that they put on in Mexico over there, man. If you watch it, I mean, they really put a lot out there. There was really minimal blown spots, which is very unlike the whole Sin Cara thing that's been going on for a while. And you know, they went really well on some pretty well orchestrated spots there. And
good.
Yeah, I would check that out if you haven't seen it. I'm sure it's online or whatever, but, yeah, man.
I
want to
know something, and this is going to be, this could come into a comedic part of the show.
Oh, fantastic.
You know how they have agents back there? You know how they have agents
yeah.
or that? I wonder who the fuck got assigned to that match.
What do you mean?
Like, whose job was it to fucking tell both Sin Caras what to do in their match?
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Yes. Probably Samuel L. Jackson.
No, honestly, though.
I don't know.
Like, what would it be? IRS? Mike Rotunda? Like, he'd be like, yeah, this is some poopy shit. Yo, let's do some arm drags or some shit. I don't even know. Is it Malenko? I could see my uncle doing that shit. Be like, yeah, do this, do that. Whatever, don't do this, don't do that. Or was it Vince? He probably be like, I'm a genetic jackhammer.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, it could have been Vince. Could have been Vince.
Keep it up, I'm a nigga.
He probably told him that.
Yeah, he just stands ringside and just yells that at all match.
People are like, wow, I'm waiting for fucking, like, there'd be protests for him saying that.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, Vince just kind of does what he wants to do. It's all good in Vince land.
It's like fucking the Occupy Wall Street fucking bullshit. Occupy fucking
Fuck, man. I listen to Stern on a regular basis, as you know, and, man, some of the people that they interview down there at that shit, I know there's a good amount of people that are actually, like, trying to make, like, a difference and trying to, you know, make it where, you know, people can actually make money without being, like, already in the top spot and stuff like that. And, you know, they could change things like that. But there's just a huge motherfucking group of people that are just high as shit. And just chilling the fuck out in tents and fucking and just running around there just chilling. And they'll ask him, like, so, you know, what are you protesting for? And they're like, I don't know, man. You know, we should do away with money. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you're fucking crazy. Get the fuck out of here. They come out of a tent that looks like the fucking mystery machine on fucking Scooby-Doo. Fucking smoke coming out of that shit. Bunch of people just, oh, Jesus. It's just insane. So, but anyway, yeah, that's that whole thing. And, you know. Fucking.
So, then they did Wade Barrett versus Morrison.
Oh, you mean Job Morrison?
Job Morrison. And during that fucking match, Michael Cole kept fucking talking about that fucking Twitter bullshit. And him and JR, like, I hate when that happens too. When they have a match and they fucking start doing another angle.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even with that fucking feud. Because Wade Barrett and John Morrison, they have no fucking thing with the whole Cole and JR feud and that whole bullshit, and then Michael Cole fucking posted pictures of fucking JR, photoshopped.
Right.
Like, who the fuck cares? Like, why are they doing this? And then he fucking challenges them next week to the
Michael Cole Challenge. We don't care.
Right.
I wish Vince could hear that. And then that. Oh, by the way, Michael Cole also said that fucking Hunter has a fucking broken neck. So
yeah,
we're not gonna
see
him for a couple of years.
Not from like the, you know, the reckless power bombs and Nashville throwdown, but like the sledgehammer shots, you know, so they're working the internet again with the, you guys are all 12 years old and now listen, he hit him with a sledgehammer. That guy's hurt really bad.
Well, if he got hit with a sledgehammer, then, for real, then Kevin Nash should be arrested.
No, you're just out for a little bit of time.
Somebody hit you, if somebody came to your job and fucking hit you with a sledgehammer, they're going to jail.
So you're
okay?
Telling me if a 7-foot man hit you with a sledgehammer, you wouldn't be back in the ring in a little while?
No, I'm saying, like, if they fucking keep working fucking people, like, Why don't they fucking take Kevin Nash to jail over this? Like, they're trying to fucking say, oh, the fucking fans. But you know what? He fucking attacked and fucking at the pay-per-view, and he fucking comes out the next night on Raw, fucking no-selling. If this was John Cena, he'd be fucking having a match the next night. Like, tomorrow,
yeah.
He would fucking be in a match. Or Tuesday, if they had a Tuesday night, a live SmackDown, he would have been wrestling.
Well, that's you never know. Like, if they're gonna sell it like death or sell it like fucking something that's really doesn't mean anything. So they go, you know, from, you know, the guy getting power bombed and laying there like he's never taken that move in his whole life and he's dead now. to, well, you know, he takes a sledgehammer shot, and now he's dead. He's dead for good. Forever dead. He's one of those permanent dead guys, you know? Well, don't really know what they're doing with it. I don't know what else to say about that, but I don't know what they're doing with it, but November 14th will be Mick Foley on Raw.
Really?
So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing with it. I have no idea what's planned for it, but it's been leaked and confirmed and all of that stuff. And, yeah, Mick Foley's going to be in the building, as they say.
Are you excited about that, or do you not care?
Or what? No.
For Mick Foley.
Yeah, Triple H is out for a minimal. No, I don't. Why would I care about Foley? Like, I cared about Foley as a hardcore wrestler, as also, you know, on the side as a comedy gimmick, and like he did a lot of good things. But at this point, like, he's just a dude that, like, he's an autograph signing within a fucking entertaining program. You know, like, he just he comes out and he's just like, hey guys, hey, what's going on? You know, I'm gonna be at the gimmick table over there. You know, just want to put over this match, and then you know, hey guys, you know, thanks for coming out. There's nothing like that.
Have
he
a
really
nice day. Have a nice day.
Yeah, there's nothing that they can really contribute at this point. What? What do you mean? Oh shit. I think Brent's having problems again. Christ,
oh,
Christ
boy.
Sake. There's more problems in this bitch than ever. Well,
Jesus,
yeah, so what
Christ.
They're saying is that he fractured vertebrae from two sledgehammer attacks that he received from Kevin Nash at the Super Show.
I want to see the x-rays from the real doctor. I want to see the x-rays from the real doctor.
Well, you know,
I don't believe
he's
it.
Out.
I don't believe it.
Minimum of 6 weeks, because you know when you break parts of your spine, that usually only puts you back 4 to 6 weeks. That's just
it's normal.
Know. Yeah, it'll probably do the little rock and sock thing, because the Rock's coming in for a cup of coffee, and you know, Foley's in for whatever. You know, it's
money talks.
Whatever.
Money talks. Bullshit walks.
Yes, and so does Kevin Nash as of this past week. Speaking of bullshit walking, I'm still walking. So, yeah, there's that.
By the way, he hasn't been cleared. He hasn't been cleared to wrestle yet, so that's interesting.
No, no, no. Well, you know, I heard of, you know, whether it was wellness policy or whether it was actually a physical thing. Or whether it was any of that. Nah, just who knows what the real deal is. Speaking of wellness policy, at my job today, fucking this chick that worked there for maybe like a week or maybe a week and a half tops. She just got fired for, you know, like free basing pain medication in the bathroom. That was a pretty interesting turn of events. Didn't see that one coming at all.
Wow.
Fucking tweaked out of her mind. It was pretty great. You know, it was one of the faster firings I've seen in my job.
That's
you know?
Real quick, a week.
Yeah, man. Yeah, usually, like, people fuck up for a while, and they really, like, get all, like, well, you know, we got to give them a chance. Well, you sure? You sure? I mean, no, this bitch was tweaked. Oh, man. Oh, it was pretty awesome. And the craziest thing is they drug test to get you into the job. So somehow you pass a drug test, and within the week, you're fucking freebasing pain medication in the bathroom. That's pretty impressive. So
How'd they find out? I have to know. How'd they find out? Somebody caught them?
Oh, their fucking eyes are fucking blasted, and you could smell some kind of burning chemical from the bathroom.
Oh, my gosh.
You know. Just
okay.
Another day.
Another day in the neighborhood, as Mr. Rogers would say.
I've never seen no dumb shit like that go on within a week of someone working there. That's some brave shit. I don't know.
Wow.
So, that was fun.
that sounds fun.
Ah, tons. Well, what else happened? What else we got? if we, I guess we could take another break or something. I don't know. Yeah, let me see if I played this one before. I might have, if not. Teddy's good a couple times. Let's go with this one.
People get stuck thinking wrestling's only one way, when wrestling's everything. Wrestling is absolutely everything. We had a concept where we had guys on the loose because Canada Olympic Park is here. So you have a tag match where basically you're on a closed circuit camera. You have guys that start up on the same thing, and they got to get down the whole mountain in a certain period of time and hit a button which releases my handcuffs. So I actually get released to make the tag. So instead of a tag just happening in a ring, there's outside things that have to happen, like a dog has to jump through a fucking hoop or a monkey has to climb up and ring the bell. But it's outside stuff, so it's not always going to happen. So say the guy doesn't make the bobsled thing, that tag doesn't happen. He's got to improvise and change his thing. Or there's got to be four or five different things he could have done, so he has to think on his feet. And once people understand that how much thinking on your feet has to happen, then they'll truly appreciate Shawn Michaels and Triple H as being some of the greatest athletes ever. Plus, the guy's got to go mastermind a company, write a bunch of scripts, do a whole bunch of other stuff, and still keep the boss's wife happy, if in a weird way, or the owner's wife happy, or sorry, Stephanie McMahon happy, or whatever his mission is. And obviously, those are all difficult jobs, which no one gets any credit for. Batista, have you ever seen, like, I don't know if you work out a little, I work out a little, Batista was on nothing. I know the guy personally, and he was huge. Now, I don't know him that well to say, but I believe when he told me that he was clean and he was training every day, and same thing with Bobby Lashley. The training schedule and the diet those guys have should be a TV show itself. It's absolutely phenomenal to see what those guys do, but those guys don't get any extra time to show that because they're tired and they're busy and their schedule's too much. But if I can get five other guys that are similar to Batista, maybe the fans out there that'll and go back and look at Batista and appreciate him more. I don't know if that makes sense to you. I'm just trying to, like, there's a lot of ways of showing what's already happened in wrestling and then putting a magnifying glass on how hard you saw something, how hard it was for that to happen, even though you saw it as something that maybe was easy.
Yeah, so according to him, if we worked out a match where a monkey would have to ring a bell in order for him to get unleashed from handcuffs and then tagged into a match, then you would actually learn to respect Shawn Michaels and Triple H for their efforts as athletes, because the monkey ringing the bell would make you realize maybe that's like he believes in that hypnosis where, you know, when you hear that bell ring, and you just incorporated a monkey, but when you hear the bell ring, you're going to snap out, and then everything will make sense to you. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Not really sure. And then he said that, you know, clearly Batista and Bobby Lashley were never on the gas. Teddy. Teddy's one of those guys. You just kind of, you know, why not? He should really have a weekly show.
Sure, he should. Hey, real quick, we haven't even talked about any of this. Tomorrow, the fucking 2011 Jeff Peterson Cup begins tomorrow.
Oh, it does? Wow.
Yeah.
I actually know nothing about that. What
you've heard
what
of
is
this
lined
one,
up
right?
For that? Oh, I've heard of the tournament, yeah.
Okay, well, here's the 16...
I think Sammy won it last year or something like that, right? Or did he win it 2 years ago?
Let me see. Yeah, he won last year.
Right.
So here's the 16 participants. It fucking goes tomorrow and Saturday in Brookville, Florida tomorrow, and Crystal River, Florida on Saturday. And here's the 16 participants. The Real Deal, Mike Cruz. Mr. 630, Jarrell Clark.
Yeah.
The Greek God, Papadon.
Oh, my God.
Bobby Fish.
All right.
Johnny Gargano.
All right.
Jonathan Gresham.
All right.
Chris Jones.
Yeah.
A.R. Fox.
All right.
Flip Kendrick.
Pretty good.
The Man Scout, Jake Manning.
Don't know who the fuck that is.
Johnny Vandal.
Huh?
Aaron Epic, who's a up-and-coming Florida guy. Lindsay Dorado from Chikara.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Lindsay, yeah.
Or
he
used to be in Chikara. Not,
yep.
No more. John Silver. Louis Leiden.
Okay.
And Pinky Sanchez.
Nice. AR Fox for the win.
I'm going with fucking, with Pinky.
Yeah?
I think AR Fox will win, but, you know, hopefully Pinky wins.
You think AR Fox
will
win, but you're picking Pinky. It's kind of like you picking the Eagles when you know Dallas is going
to
win this week.
Here we go.
Yeah, so, what were you saying?
No, I said there's also a special appearance by April Hunter.
Oh. She's not banging anyone in that tournament. What's going on there?
Yeah, I know, right? She was banging J.D. Michaels.
Right.
At one point,
she
was banging Blake Wagner Brown.
Right, isn't she still with the J.D. Michaels guy?
I don't know. Who the fuck cares? Who the hell knows?
Oh. All right. Just wondering. She kind of like falls in and out of the business, and when she usually does show up, it's usually around the guy that she's banging at the time. But
yeah.
Or, you know, conventions. I'm sure she does, you know, nice, wholesome conventions where it has nothing to do with that. But usually, like, not so much as wrestling shows anymore, you know, for a while. I know she had some, like, actually legit injuries that kept her out of, like, you know, competing, really. So it only really made sense for her to do valet work. And, you know, unless it, you know, I kind of understand because unless it actually included someone she was with, it wasn't worth the, you know, the pay cut to go from, you know, performer to, you know, valet or that type of thing. So, I kind of understand that. That's the Peterson Cup, eh? Nice.
That's this weekend.
Not so bad. Another thing, isn't Chikara working this weekend?
Yeah. Yep.
What are they doing?
Serena Deeb is out this weekend. She is
she,
hurt.
Got hurt,
she
right?
She got hurt.
On a WSU show.
Yeah, she got hurt. So, this Saturday, oh, wait, we have Friday first, and that's in Williamsport, PA. Give me 1 second. I just had that fucking part up, too. No, actually, that's Sunday. All right, so the Saturday show is this Saturday in Reading. They're going to do one-on-one, Marty Jannetty versus Tarsus.
That's awkward.
Yeah. Eddie Edwards versus Jigsaw.
That's not bad at all.
Eddie Kingston versus Vin Gerard.
All
right. Ophidian versus Sugar Dunkerton.
Hmm.
Marion Fontaine versus Archibald Peck with Veronica and Colt Cabani.
Oh, God. I don't know who's playing Colt these days.
Yeah, who the fuck knows? There's a 30-man over-the-top rope battle royal, too. It's called the Countdown Showdown.
All right.
And, yeah, they're doing that on Saturday. Sunday they're in Williamsport. Yeah, and this one should be a good card for the tag team championship. It's going to be Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano versus Dasher Hatfield and Sugar Dunkerton. Sarah Del Rey versus Tarsus. Ultraman is Black and Hollow Wicked versus Delirious and Jacob Hammenheimer. And a War of the Eddies, Eddie Edwards versus Eddie Kingston.
Nice.
3.0 is going to take on Oberyn and Kobold. Ophidian takes on Kodama. Los Ice Creams takes on the Colony. And Archibald Peck and Colt Cabani versus a mystery tag team. So it's a four-corner elimination match.
Wow.
Yeah.
few highlights in there. It's good to see Eddie Edwards on Chikara, you know, working Jigsaw and working Eddie Kingston and, you know, some big shit there. A couple things that stand out to me.
Wow. Multiple sources say that this afternoon Barry Windham is still in ICU after suffering what is believed to be a combined stroke and heart attack on Wednesday.
Yeah, I had heard he's gone through some pretty hard shit over there. Terrible.
Thoughts and prayers and whatever.
Okay. Right. Well, another show that happened this past weekend that I have to mention, that would be Steen Wolf. What a crazy couple days this has been for Mr. Kevin Steen. First,
he wrestled Chaz Bona, I thought. I thought he wrestled Chaz Bona.
Well, first he lost the he lost the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Heavyweight Champion in a ladder match against El Generico. And then he got kicked off Dancing with the Stars later in the week. I mean, shit, man. He's
horrible
all
week
about
for
him. People
horrible.
Calling Penguin and all this. It's fucking amazing. But, I mean, you had the Young Bucks beat Future Shock. And it's pretty funny because I know Ring of Honor was doing like three ways and four ways with those guys in the ring and stuff like that, but Gorilla just put that on, and then Ring of Honor's like, we're bringing you this match for our next pay-per-view, and they putting on the Young Bucks versus Future Shock. It's like, oh, great, guys. You're definitely the first to do that.
Hey, at least Adam Cole's getting booked, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think he's had that many problems with that. I mean, he's, you know, talented athlete. He's been working a lot of places, getting great reviews about the stuff he's doing. Yeah, I don't see why not.
I was texting him right before he got on the plane to go to fucking California.
Who?
Cole.
Well, yeah, Nina's asking me if Necro or well. Joker actually played Colt Cabana, but I don't believe he still is. So that's, you know, a lot of times they use him one-time parts and stuff like that. Necro was CP Monk. So, but yeah, I don't think right now he is. But anyway, they had Davey Richards beat Willie Mack. TJP beat Rocky Romero. And a bunch more stuff going on there. But the big news. Oh, Ricochet also beat Chuck Taylor. The big news coming out of that event is after El Generico beat Chaz Bono for his title, the Young Bucks came out and challenged Kevin Steen to a guerrilla warfare match. And the whole crowd thought that he was going to turn to El Generico for his help and to team up with him again. This was not the case. Returning to not only, you know, I mean, as far as we know right now, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, as well as professional wrestling, Super Dragon came out to make the save. And, going to be Kevin Steen and Super Dragon versus the Young Bucks. I believe that's in December.
December 9th. I want to say December 9th.
Right. I didn't get to see a lot of pictures or anything like that, and I had known, you know, for a while that everybody was saying that, you know, Super Dragon is not in the shape to be out there wrestling, and part of what he was doing was, you know, He was fat. He was fucking fat. So it's funny that he came out and saved the other fat guy. And, you know, I hope Super Dragon can get back into the shape. You know, it's not like he's ever been in, like, fucking ripped shape. But, you know, to get it back into working shape and not just be like, the best you can do and, you know, this type of thing. But first thing I thought is tag team names. I think we got to go with Celebrity Fit Club. You know, I think that's it. You know, I just rather see Super Dragon look like a fucking, you know, like a very dominant wrestler rather than just like a fat kid at fucking Comic-Con. Like, I'm Super Dragon. Yeah,
I'm
Super Dragon. I'm going to punch Dr. Face.
Oh, my God. I think the team should be called Team Fast, no, Fat and the Furious.
Fat and Furious. That's pretty clever. I like that one. We can definitely submit that. I mean, there's many things. I just think with Chaz getting kicked off Dancing with the Stars, used to be on Celebrity Fit Club. Hey, man, and then they could both cut weight, and then they could be Celebrity Fight Club. You know, like they could bring it around. You know, you never know.
But where the hell are you getting the fact that Super Dragon is a celebrity?
Oh well. Wow.
Because he's not. He wrestles once. He hasn't wrestled in mad long. Robbie Marino said on this show that he was a fucking a redhead.
Well. But
and
Chaz.
And he's unsafe.
Yeah. Well, Chaz is. Chaz was definitely a celebrity. He was just on you know.
Yeah, I know, but what about Super Dragon? Like, who the fuck is Super Dragon? Is it is it Bill Cosby? It might be Bill Cosby for all we know.
When I think I had heard too that when Kevin Steen got kicked off of Dancing with the Stars, I heard his mom Cher had this to say.
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid. You have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell.
Oh. Well, I mean, hopefully Chaz will take that criticism and then, you know, get back in the ring looking a little better. You know, I mean, what else could you do? Just hope the guy, you know, gets back on his feet. That's a little harsh out of moms, but what can you do?
Damn. Fucking mom talking like that. My mom talks to me. I'd be like, what the fuck? Not random.
Yeah. She does not like losers. She does not like failure at all. She is one of those people that just does not appreciate that whatsoever. You know? She sees these people come out of there, you know, and hey, you come home with the fucking trophy or you don't come home. You better start calling your friends. I don't want you in the house. You know?
Huh.
Yeah.
Kind of fucked up.
That's I don't know, man. That's how Cher rolls. Hey, you come home with the trophy or you fucking ski into a tree for all I care. That's what I say. I don't know, man. Just the way she works in her house. You know? What can you do? What can you do?
I know, right?
Yeah. What the fuck else happened?
Oh, we got a fucking stupid-ass promo that we could talk about, how horrible it was. We were just talking about it before we went on the air.
Oh, which promo was that?
Oh, that was the
there's
Runaway
stupid
promo.
Promos.
That Runaway stupid promo.
Ah, that one.
That stupid fucking one, man. Fucking DJ shouldn't even put out goddamn fucking promos. This is fucking great. Horrible.
I really didn't have any advance notice or I would have uploaded these promos to allow everybody else to, you know, bask in the glory of how fucking terrible and lack of effort that these things are these days, you know, but no, I chose not to. I just don't know. But, I mean, there are some big things going on in, you know, CZW, it's definitely heating up. There's definitely some things that are going to be pretty entertaining, man. You got doubleheaders coming up, fucking three of them, that are going to be pretty fucking substantial, two of which going down in Philly. And
hopefully DJ doesn't fuck it up.
What's that?
So hopefully DJ doesn't fuck it up like he fucks with everything.
Right. Well, I mean, first one being November 5th, and that's the Insanity Pro Wrestling CCW doubleheader out in Indiana. You got Scotty coming back to face Drake Younger in a Fans Bring the Weapons steel cage match. And that's pretty substantial. That's your afternoon show, and they got some other stuff booked and all of that. But also on the main card, well, on the CCW card, that's the night card, you have the Irish Airborne, first time ever in CCW, teaming up to take on Dustin Reyes and Ricky Page. I don't know who the fuck Ricky Page is, but
no idea.
So but it's good that they're teaming up finally. I know, you know, the heel turn is just inevitable the way that they're steering these guys. There's just really no way around it. It's looking directly at a heel turn, which I'm kind of not that happy with, just because I think those guys can make a fantastic feud against each other and tear shit up. No maybes about it, but I'd really like to see them fucking have a great run in the tag team division first, and they're just rushing this feud. They barely gave fucking Dave any ring time, and now they're just rushing straight into a feud. So, it is what it is. Then you got returning to the combat zone is Isaiah. After his phenomenal aerial assault showing, he is taking on Blackout's Alex Colon. And, DJ's going one-on-one with Sammy. You got this little six-man tournament. And you got AR Fox taking on UHA Nation, Latin Dragon taking on Ryan McBride, and Jonathan Gresham taking on Drew Gulak. And the three of those matches will culminate in three people who will face off in a three-way dance at Night of Infamy 1 week later. So we have that stuff to look forward to. You have a four-way for the Ultra Violent Underground title match, and that will be Barbed Wire Madness. I think it's No World Barbed Wire. And you will have Masada, Danny Havoc, Matt Tremont, and Necro Butcher vying for Masada's Ultraviolent Underground title. And that will be some big shit. Devin Moore has an open challenge to anyone in Indy. And he's got some shit ahead of him, because if he gets by whatever he just challenged, next week he has Masada, and that's going to be a bad motherfucker. You know what I mean? That's not some easy shit for him to deal with, and it's going to be pretty fucking serious. So we have that to look forward to. Now on to the promo that you had mentioned. Well, they did a whole thing where, you know, Blackout is feuding with the Runaways. Well, it's the Runaways with Kimberly jump somebody. Looks kind of like it might be Rich Swann or somebody. Maybe they just grabbed a random black dude and jumped. I don't know what they did. But the whole thing is supposed to build a six-man tag match. Now, when they formed this new Blackout, the original members of this new Blackout was supposed to be Alex Colon, Ruckus, and Rick Swann. Well, Rich has been, you know, touring the fuck out of Japan and doing his thing, and there is no, I have no ill will towards that. I have nothing bad to say about that. I think that's awesome. But, everybody knows he's going to be back in the U.S. for that show. He will be working the Dragon Gate show in the afternoon, and he will be working the CZW show. Well, I thought he will be working the CZW show at night. However, the matches is advertised as Alex Colon, Ruckus, and Robbie Marino. Like, he's one of the competitors, so they're doing that. And then, You know, the Runaways, Joe Gacy, Ryan Slater, and three question marks. And Kimberly said, oh, I got somebody. I'll handle this. Well, I mean, my first thought is, oh, definitely fucking her boyfriend, Niles Young. And, you know, it turns my stomach. It's going to be a fucking horrible match. And, you know, it's whatever. I mean, if that's the direction they're going to go, fine, go ahead. It's fucking really predictable. It's just locker room politic bullshit that people get their fucking people in there. And honestly, nobody wants to see it. And it's not a heel thing. It really is not a heel thing. I mean, it's just garbage. It's garbage fucking booking. That's a throwaway match. It's really just, I mean, just no interest. And, I mean, maybe it's somebody else. Who do you think is going to be the third person of the Runaways?
I could care less.
Well, that's a very valid point as well.
How about this? You want to hear a late-breaking news?
Sure.
I'm going to fucking Dragon Gate. I'm just going to Dragon Gate.
Oh. All right. Well, that's... Well, also, you will be missing Greg Excellent taking on in a one-on-one contest, Mia Yim.
Word. I hope that shit goes fucking horrible. I hope they
also
do that fucking the Big Show Mark Henry match, to be honest. Like the fucking with the ring. I hope the ring collapses for real. I hope that's the main event, too.
Also, we will have Philly's Most Wanted taking on the number one contenders. That I don't know. They won number one contendership, I don't know, like a couple months ago.
September. Oh, August.
Yeah, those guys. Azrael and Bandito.
Finally.
So, yeah. You also have the CZW Junior Heavyweight Championship of Adam Cole defending against none other than Sami Callihan. And that will be a contest that makes it worth going. Like I said, you have Masada ready to take on whoever is the world champion at that time. And I'm sure you will have many, many other things to be announced, most likely after this November 5th show. And
DJ's not on that fucking card.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's some big shit. They got a lot of good stuff going on. Well, just to fast forward a little bit, in December, they have the... the Indy Summit 2011 mixed with Cage of Death. And they have announced some pretty big things for that. They've announced a tag team match of Jackie Numazawa, the Black Angel, and the Crazy Monkey, Jun Kasai, taking on Ryuji Ito and Danny Havoc in a tag team.
Awesome.
It's fucking crazy. Now, Eric over here told me that this is going to be Dick Togo's last match, but Dick Togo has been announced as taking on Kudo that day, and what will be a great contest. And if Eric's right, I mean, you definitely do not want to miss this. So,
he had his Japanese last match a little while ago. He's on a tour of different countries,
a retirement
doing
tour,
last
huh?
matches. But you know what wrestling. There's with Terry Funk. I wish he had the Terry Funk clip because I would laugh my ass off. This is my last match for next month. He's back.
Right,
next month.
Right.
This is my last match. A couple months later,
yeah.
I'm back. I'm fucking wrestling. A couple months later, this is my last match. Yeah, I don't think so. There's no retirement
right.
wrestling. Unless you're dead, or I don't know. Unless you're fucking dead, or you fucking are in a wheelchair, you're never gonna fucking retire.
Right. Yeah.
Agree with me. As long as you're dead or like Dynamite kid, you're never. Nobody retires in this business.
The more you know.
What the fuck was that?
The more you know.
Okay. Word.
And there's also Yoshihito Sasaki taking on Sami Callihan.
I don't know much about Sasaki, but I think
We got a couple Sasakis. We got Yoshihito Sasaki. We also have Takashi Sasaki.
We also have Kensuke Sasaki.
Jesus.
We have Toshiaki Sasaki. And we have, what else? Atsushi Sasaki. That's that used to be FMW worker, actually.
Wow. Well, we have 2-on-1 card. And, that's
good.
So, yeah.
And a special challenge match. We're going to have Reggie Tiller versus J. Cat Morris.
I don't think so. Not really down with, I mean, this guy's a kid, you know? It's really,
you gotta put him in his place sometimes. You gotta fucking take him out. Take him out back. Fucking pick a gun. Fucking shoot him in the face.
I'd rather be dead.
Well, yeah, you can clearly see that this guy is not down for that type of shit. You know, doesn't make no motherfucking sense at all.
I want to tell you something right now. Samsung phones are pieces of shit.
Samsung phones?
Yes. Samsung
phones. Have a Samsung phone.
They are
phone.
Pieces of fucking shit.
The
battery life is horrible. I just plugged this phone in for 2 hours. It gave me 15 minutes. Now it's found me low battery. So now I have to fucking sit here next to the fucking computer with the fucking, plugged into the fucking goddamn charger, and I can't move anywhere. So, yeah, that pisses me off.
You're coming. That comes on Thursday night to 9 o'clock.
Yeah, random promo by Reggie. There you go. Thanks,
yeah,
Reggie.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, my Samsung phone's fine. But anyway, only thing they have announced so far for Cage of Death itself is Danny Havoc taking on the Bulldozer Matt Tremont. And you got to remember that both of those guys are involved in the Ultraviolet Underground title match 1 week prior to that. So this may have title implications if one of those two guys walk away with the title in Indiana. What?
Not a week after. Not a week before. It's like a month before.
Oh, a month before. Yes. And that as well. And then the epic battle of DJ Hyde taking on Greg Excellent. And Greg gets to pick the stipulation. So, good times, CCW. Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't pick that fucking Cage of Death because that would be fucking boring.
Aw, no fucking way. Oh, no way.
How DJ likes to do things. He likes to put himself over sometimes.
Yes, I know. That's, dude.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
No, I can totally see that.
You just booked DJ and Greg Excellent in Cage of Death.
No,
in
I'm fucking doing that shit. I didn't say I am booking that shit because I'm not the booker. If I was the booker, there'd be a lot of different shit going on. It's not. But they don't fucking use certain people, and they should be using certain people, and certain people would actually make things actually interesting. But yeah, I can fucking see DJ putting himself in the cage of death against Greg. I can totally see it. Fucking stupid.
Jesus.
I hope they don't do two cage of death matches like they've done in years past. I really hope they don't do that shit. Maybe they put Devin in the fucking cage. He fucking gets his ass beat or something. I don't know.
Man, I just...
I have a funny feeling they're going to do the rematch from Down with the Sickness in the cage, though. Masada versus Ito. Ito in the cage.
No.
Yeah. I could totally see it.
No.
Or Masada and Crazy Monkey.
That would work just fine. That would work just fine. But Ito, man, at this point in his life,
Jesus!
Can't.
That was Zandig's thoughts. We caught up with him earlier.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Just can't take it anymore. He's just so ridiculously slow at this point. And just...
You think the honey badger cares? It doesn't give a shit.
See, the honey badger doesn't care. The honey badger's booking the show, Jay.
I know. At this point, you know, Ito can't pick his pace up. He either needs to take it home, you know, maybe retire, or someone needs to just take him out back and just, you know, whatever makes it happen. Whatever makes it happen.
Hell fucking yeah!
So. Well, that's,
okay.
How I feel about that. I don't think people should work at that pace in the ring. Ito's done tremendous, tremendous deathmatch shit, and maybe, the whole thing is accurate that, you know, Masada was shooting and saying, you know, oh, you're like fucking the John Cena deathmatch wrestling and the John Cena Big Japan and stuff like that. And like, you don't even doing shit anymore and you just fucking phone it in. And it's crazy because like you put that whole shit out there and then what happened? Like fucking Ito pretty much phoned it in. And whether it is like, you know, legitimate. Honestly, he looked like he was creaky. Like, he looked like his shit hurt bad. Like, I'm not just saying this dude could work hard as fuck and he chose not to. I'm saying, like, I don't feel like he can do that anymore.
I agree.
Like, he has worked some fucking top fucking dudes for a long fucking time. He has been one of the top deathmatch wrestlers in the world, you know, Japan obviously being his home base, but at this point, I just feel like, I don't know, man. Like, the dude really looked slow, looked very slow, walking, kicking, punching, moving, jogging, jumping. Everything about his shit looked slow and painful. It's not me just trying to, like, hike on the guy and this and that, because I was very, like, excited to see the guy live, and I was like, just, wow. Cool, man, we're going to see. And I honestly am, like, glad that I've seen him live. Of course I'd rather see the guy at a higher speed, for Christ's sakes. You know, but I can't say that, like, I think that was a fluke. I could say that, but I don't honestly think that was a fluke. I think that's the speed he's at right now. And hey, man, I dare anybody to go out there and do what the fuck he's done over the years and not be moving at that speed right now as well. But with that being said, that doesn't make it the most entertaining thing in the world to watch if he decides to keep moving at that speed, you know, for the crowds that paid to see him, you know, and know what he used to be capable of. And, he hit the fast-forward button when you're watching him live. And honestly, I mean, if you hit the fast-forward button, you know, when if you're watching on DVD or something, it might even it out, you know? That's what our friend Brent's fucking suggesting in the chat room. Just hit fast-forward. It'll all be better. Well, that's quite a suggestion. I mean, maybe, you know, I mean, I guess you could hit fast forward if you get the DVD, or if you're there, if you're there live, just do a bunch of trucker speed before you get in the building, and everything will just move faster to you. I don't recommend you just do a bunch of trucker speed, but in the same token, maybe everybody will, you know, it'd be sprint matches all night. Motherfuckers would be in there just, you know, geeked up.
And then you watch it on DVD and you're like, what the fuck, what the hell? What
I remember this much faster. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What can you do?
Yeah, I know.
Well, what else do I got? What else do I got? Well, like I said, Muppets on Raw coming Monday. That's fantastic to me. Yeah. I got a chance to watch the Joker shoot. At least most of it. I fell asleep. I think towards the end of it, I got to rewatch that part of it. But you know, we had him on and we promoted you know, his DVD that he put out and everything like that. But I got to tell you, man, this fucking interview is fire. Like, this guy really went into depth about a lot of his stuff in Iraq and all of that stuff. And I mean, he's a very candid dude. He doesn't really pull punches or anything like that. If you don't fucking like you, he tells you about it. And I mean, the guy, he really went in, he really told some legitimate shit, man, like a lot of stuff on there, you'd be surprised to hear, a lot of it you know, just be really, you know, enlightened on hearing, because, I mean, the dude, like I said, he's just a very honest, very, you know, outspoken dude about what's going on in his life and his experiences and stuff like that. I expected to enjoy it, but I think I enjoyed it more than I even expected to. And, you know, I put it over on old Facebook last night and stuff. But for those who have not seen it, go to smartmarkvideo.com and, you know, pick up, yeah, Best on the Indies, Cambodian Axe Murderer, Joker. Because, I'm telling you, man, I haven't even gotten to the matches yet, because I know I've seen the majority of those matches anyway. But, you know, I'll skim through whatever. But, yeah, man, the dude's shoot interview is worth the price of the DVD.
Right.
Help the homie out. I mean, I'm telling you, right now, Smart Mark Video is putting on some great shit because, I mean, the Justice Payne DVD I thought was great, which, you know, to link in there, he didn't have the best things to say about Justice Payne, so you might want to check that out on Cooker's side. But
I remember I told you about that before. You know, you got a chance to watch it.
Right. Yeah, it's some good and some bad to say about Justice Payne, but you know, you didn't really expect all that. But yeah, man, the Justice Payne shoot I thought was really good. I can't help but, you know, put ourselves over again because you know, we were the first interview that Justice Payne did, to my knowledge, and then you know, but about a year later, the Justice Payne interview came out on Smart Mark Video, and I thought it was great. You know, I thought he enlightened us on a lot of other things that, like, we didn't maybe get into, and I think we hit a lot of things that they didn't get into. So it was a great companion piece. If you listened to our shit and you liked it, you got to get their shit. And if you've got their shit and you liked it, you got to just go download our stuff, man, because we got 2.5-hour interview with the guy, possibly a longer interview than he actually gave us. So that, or you know, possibly a longer interview than he gave them, I should say. And
I think we got him longer.
Yeah. So I mean, pretty substantial. I mean, they did, you know, a lot of they do a lot more structured interviews because they're doing something that's more professional. I'm far from professional. So, but we had a great time with him, you know. We sat there, we really got into a bunch of stuff, and, you know, just opened the box, man, something that wasn't really cracked open before, and I was really, really happy to get it done. It took months and months to get him actually on the phone and actually do it, and it was well worth it, and like I said, you know, you go check out Justice Payne's thing, and, Yeah, Brent's saying great interview. Thanks, dude. But again, I'm sidetracking, fucking stroking my own shit again, but that's ridiculous. But now, Small Mark Video is doing big shit. I can't wait to see Drake's stuff that he just put out. Like I said, you know, Joker stuff is definitely worth seeing. I'm looking forward to what they have in store for the future because they've been doing nothing but just knockout interviews. And we'll just have to see.
I would like to see a Sabian best of. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would too. You know, I think he'd be a pretty outspoken dude. He is. And I mean, my only worry with that is this. I like the dude, 100%. I would have no qualms about getting that, you know. I'd be all about seeing it and seeing what it's all about, and I'd be very happy to support that. And, you know, I think a lot of other people should too, but my thing is, Jesus put himself over so much as a heel that, you know, he's done such a good job of being a heel that so many people actually legitimately hate that dude. I think that'd be hard to sell a lot of copies of, you know. Even though I think it would be a good watch and it would be, you know, I mean, you could pack that DVD with matches that, yeah, I mean, it would be bananas. But in the same token, I don't know if that would be a huge sell just for the sake of there's a lot of people he's gotten, you know, through his heel work to legitimately hate him. They're not giving $20 for anything with his name on it, you know, unless there's, you know, Steve. I mean, Steve probably has his own best of DVDs made up and shit. You know what I mean? Just go out to this house and on how bad he hates him and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he's got like a fucking, like a trilogy. He's got like a box set on like G's DVDs just for him to yell at TV when, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, even our friend Brent said G's is hard to like for him, at least. And, you know what I mean? But I'm saying, like, he's doing his job. Like I said, I like the dude, but I don't think that would be a huge seller for those reasons. You know, again, another guy that, okay, you know, cheap plug again, but, I mean, we did, a 2-hour-plus interview with that dude, too. We've had him on a few times since then, but we did 2-hour-plus interview with the dude back then, and, you know, just a humble dude and just, you know, really gets down to, like, different things that went on from, you know, back in the day till more current and stuff like that. And he's a real dude. He's a heel at heart, and I just think that, you know, he's doing his fucking thing. So if you're a heel and everybody legit hates you, then you're probably doing well. Again, you're not going to sell a shitload of merchandise, which is why I'm saying that about the DVD. But you're going to get, you should be booked all over everybody's cards because you're the fucking heel. You're the guy that everybody hates. Everybody loves to hate. Everybody, you know, well, not everybody. Some motherfuckers go out there and make banners. They make banners and T-shirts and this and that, and they throw their food and drink at you. Like, they can't even eat no more because they hate you so much. They so mad, they're going to be thirsty in 10 minutes after they see you because they throwing their drink. I can't even eat. They throw their pizza at you. There's some credit to be given there, you know what I mean? Like I said, you can sell other people's merch because you're going to need some more pizza if you want to eat tonight. So you probably do better than Larry Legend.
So much heat. He is getting so much heat.
Yeah, but G's could probably, you know, sell more more concessions than Larry Legend does just for the fact that when they throw it at him, they got to go buy some more shit. So, I mean, maybe Rogers should be giving him a cut. You know, do that shit. Go that route.
Rogers is probably real happy. He's probably like, oh, I want to look on all my cards.
That little motherfucker gets them to throw that shit away, and then they hungry again. That's the move.
He should be telling all the promotions that run in the arena, You gotta book Sabian if you want to book.
Yeah.
If you want to wrestle in the arena.
We won't allow rental of this arena without you booking this G's guy because he throws all the stuff all over the place and
yeah.
Gotta buy
I'll
more.
Pay you. I'll even book Sabian for you. You just gotta have him work.
Yeah, I'll pay
shit.
Yeah. Hey man. If you listen, G's, you gotta go at Roger on that one, man. That's good money right there. So yeah, man. What else we got?
I'm waiting for somebody to throw a beer at him.
Well, I mean, Fat Boy threw water and pizza and shit.
Yeah, he's probably like, oh, okay.
Not that much different. Got my new 49er hat today. Banging.
What?
I said I just got my new 49er hat today. Banging. Just
word.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Fucking late. It's always fucking late on Thursdays.
This is always late on Thursdays. Isn't that like one of those shows? Oh, no, it's always sunny. It's always late on Thursdays, the TV show. But yeah, man, Brent Maddie hates The Miz. Hates The Miz. Do you think you hate The Miz as much as I hate David Otunga?
Wow.
So, Brent, you don't think he's awesome? Is that what you're trying to tell me? You're not on board with the awesome? You don't have one of those shirts? Hi, I'm awesome. You don't have that one?
Do you?
No, do I? I have it in several colors, actually. I have a David Otunga coffee mug.
Right, and Drake signed that shit.
Yes, because he loves my hatred for David Otunga. That's great.
That is fun.
Brent Maddie has no shirt. Now, man. Well, that's too bad. I'm going to have to ship you one out, courtesy of Yakuza Kick Radio. I'll have to steal one off of a teenager or something. We'll mail it out anonymously. But you know where it came from. You know. So anyway, I think I'm out of shit. I'm threatening our listeners with Miz merchandise. So I think that's probably...
Jesus Christ.
Probably means it's about time to wrap it up.
I think so too.
Yeah. Robbery of teenagers to send our listeners Miz merchandise. Yeah, man. So anyway, shout out to our boys over there at the Wrestling Soup. They're doing a show tonight, which is fantastic. They did one last week, haven't posted it online yet, which makes me angry, but whatever. They do a great job. Mitch is over there. He just graduated some kind of broadcasting excellence. So, whatever. He's doing good. He's doing their thing. They do a good thing over there. Check out, Small Mark Video. Go get some of their shit. They got a lot of good shit. Oh, they got the King of the Death Match that I'll be getting soon. The Drake Younger DVDs. They got the Joker DVDs. They got... You think about who you like. They got that DVD. Best of. Fucking cards all over the fucking place. That's that shit. Right, Kevin Steen. All of the sympathy letters you can over this next week because it's a hard time with him not being able to dance anymore. He's lost his smile. So, if you guys see him at an indie show, please extend my heartfelt gratitude for him not being on Dancing with the Stars anymore. And tell him, don't worry about what your mama says, man. You just keep dancing. You know what I mean? So, that's what it is. Eric, you got anything else to throw in there?
No, man. All
right.
Everybody take care.
It's what it is. We'll see you next Thursday with our full Muppet Show Raw wrap-up and everything else. that we got on deck. We'll check you motherfuckers out next week. For Eric Williams, I am J-Cat Morris. Peace.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
But now let's get things started. Why don't you get me started?
It's time to get things started
on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational,
but you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
We're taking over.